Good morning. Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I appreciated the thoughts that Lee shared, and we did not talk together. I had no clue what he was going to talk about. It seems like God just has practical lessons for us today. I appreciate the brother over here sharing iron sharpening iron, and so I think God wants to sharpen us this morning. So the message I have for you today is a very practical one. Everyone needs it in one way or another, from the youngest here to the oldest, either as a giver or as a receiver, but we all need it. We will not prosper physically, mentally, or spiritually without it. It is a gift. It's free. But so often we don't give it away like we should. And I'm speaking to myself. I mean, I started thinking about this 2 weeks ago and started studying, and I realized how much I need it and how poor I am at giving it away. So you're wondering, what are we going to talk about? It's the gift of encouragement. It is a gift, and it's free. We get it from God's word. We get it from God himself in prayer. We get it from each other as his children. But we all, without encouragement, in one way or another, there's probably not many of us that would be here this morning. As I thought about encouragement, you know, it's all through the epistles. The Apostle Paul was very good at encouraging the churches. And I thought it'd be a good place to start would be to look at some of the synonyms of encouragement. Because it's not always to find the word encouragement in the Bible. It's not to be found. I think encourage is used 3 times in the New Testament. But there's other forms of encouragement. So some synonyms of encouragement is cheer, incite, reassure, inspire, support, exhort, urge on, pep up, stimulate, and entreat. These are all synonyms that Webster gave for encouragement. Toddlers need encouragement at a very small age when they're learning to walk. See, come on, you can do it. Come here. I mean, I'm fascinated by watching children to get a sibling to learn to walk. It's all encouragement. And sure enough, they get it. As they get a little older, then they need to learn to eat all the food on their plate, maybe even peas. How about that, Kenton? School age, they needed to apply themselves. They need encouragement to apply themselves in school to do a good job at their lessons. Youth need encouragement to yield their lives to Christ, to walk in godliness and holiness, to keep themselves unspotted from the world. And that goes for us older ones as well. To the rest of us, whatever stage we're in, we need it too, because the battle is not easy. It's not always pleasant. We all need encouragement at times. Maybe you're a busy mother. You're changing diapers, following toddlers around the house all day while they knock your plants down and clean out your cupboards and empty your drawers. And you're homeschooling. You're doing laundry. And you're making food. And eat food and they just eat it up. I'm sure mothers all need encouragement. Maybe us dads. Maybe we had a rough day at work. Seems like everything goes wrong. I was already well into my studies, and this week I had a couple days of some of the worst days that I had for a long time. It just seems like while my partner was not in the office, I was there by myself, and we had a truck broke down in Chicago for 2.5 days, and it just seemed like we weren't getting anywhere, getting a fix. We had a deadline. We had to get the load in here. and it just wasn't happening. And my driver is not a professing Christian, and he said to me on the phone, you know, Les, he said, I'm thinking maybe we ought to join hands and talk to the man upstairs. Well, that shocked me. I said, well, Mike, I said, I am praying for you. And I did. I stopped at my desk and I prayed for the situation and for grace to to face the struggle. Then we had another driver had a flat tire in Baltimore. And it was one of those weeks that encouragement was necessary. But that's what we face. This is what we deal with. It's life. As we heard last week, we're on a battleship. It's not a cruise ship. So we expect these times to come. But are we here for each other? I know a lot of you can identify with a lot of these thoughts. If we're not careful, our problems can become so large in our minds, sometimes they're not as big as what our minds think they are, that it actually affects our faith in God. You know, if we're so focused on our problems and life around me, I mean, we don't trust God like we should, because God plans our day. And do we believe the verse that all things happen for our good? Maybe God is testing our patience. Maybe he's testing our endurance. Maybe he wants us to see the light at the end of the rainbow, at the end of the tunnel. But God is in control of everything that happens in our life, and he's right there beside us, waiting for us to cry out to him for grace. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the two words that stuck out to me in that word there is let us. It doesn't say let me, but let us. Let us collectively. We're in this battle together. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, because God is there for us every time. We just need to reach out to him. And I know some of you are much better at encouraging others than what I am, because I feel like I fail too often. But as I was studying, I thought about this. It's always encouraging to me when I have to study to share a Bible study or a message, and Brother Ed usually sends me a text, says, brother, I'm praying for you. And that is an encouragement to know that somebody is praying. Another thing I thought about, too, as Lee was sharing, you know, I probably spend more time studying than the rest of you, because I'm not the brightest guy on the block, but to spend hours studying, and then you come, and maybe people come late, or they're not even here, it's sort of discouraging. So thank you all for being here this morning, and it makes it easier to share, although it is true, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you. So thank you for coming this morning. But God wants his children to be encouraged and to be at rest. There are many passages and numerous verses that are encouraging to us in the midst of a battle. But it's God's plan that we are at rest. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's God's desire that we don't carry the world on our shoulders, but that we take our problems to him, and that we find encouragement in his word. A few more verses about God's desire for us. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, if we're anxious about everything, or just some things, it's hard to be thankful. It's hard to trust God. And then we don't have the peace of God in our hearts when we're uptight and we're anxious. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, "But we should not lose heart in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. So then, as we have time, let us work good toward all, especially those of the household of faith." That's a little different version than our King James, but it's still the same principle. Let's do good as we have the opportunity, and let's bless others. Let's encourage others as we go through this life. Isaiah 43, 1 and verse 2. And you can put your name in the blank here. "But now, so says Jehovah, who created you, O Cleon, John, Sam, Ed, whatever your name is. But now, so says Jehovah, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, and they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame kindle on you." Just stop and think about that verse for a little bit. When you're in the midst of a struggle, put your name in that verse. And remember that God says, "I have called you by your name. You are mine." To me, that is a comfort, to know that God is there. He knows my name, and I am his. "When I pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame kindle on you." God is there because I'm his child. The next time Satan comes as an accuser and whispers to you, "No one else has it this bad, you're a failure," remember, he is a liar and the father of it. Romans 8, 33 and 34 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he condemning? It is Christ who has died, but rather also who is raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." That is such a comforting thought to me. As you think about, as we go through trials, as we are needing comfort, as we are needing encouragement. Number one, that I'm God's. God says, I am his. But then also that Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, is sitting on the right hand of God interceding. He sees what we're going through. He says, "Cleon." He says to God, "Father, see Cleon. He's struggling today." He's there interceding for John, for Joseph, for each one of us. He's interceding for each one of us. I find that very encouraging. And this is nothing new. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." God is and always will be. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The next time you need encouragement, stop and meditate on Psalm 23. We probably, all the children here could quote it by memory. But as I read that, that is a comforting psalm. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we think about the care and the love that a shepherd has for his sheep, the scripture says that God sees every sparrow that falls. He knows every hair on our head. Some of us have more than others, but he knows every hair on our head. That's how God cares about the details of our life. As we think about him as our shepherd, we lack nothing. He's looking for green grass for us. He wants us to have a relaxed, peaceful life. He leads us beside the still waters. He refreshes our soul. He guides me along the right paths. Sometimes there's rough spots, but he helps us through those. But God is always with us. So why do we all need encouragement? It's because we're all in the battle together. Life is real. Hebrews 3:12-14, it says, "Take heed, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So the verse that I wanted to call attention to there was verse 13, "But exhort, but encourage one another daily." Maybe we're so caught up in our own little worlds that we don't even see the struggle that our brother or sister has, or maybe we're not involved in their lives enough to know that they're struggling. So let's be aware of the needs in our families' lives and our brothers and sisters in Christ and those around us, so that we can exhort them, because it is possible that we would have an evil heart of unbelief. And so we need to exhort one another daily. Encouraging others and being encouraged by others are both central thoughts to the life of an obedient believer. We need each other. Christianity is not a faith that God intended for us to live out by ourselves. He intended for us to be together. Just the phrase, "let us," I won't take the time to read all the verses, but just the phrase, "let us," as we think about collectively, together, not me, myself, and I, but "let us." That phrase is used 13 times just in the book of Hebrews, and it's all encouragements, it's exhortations by the writer there to beware. He's exhorting us. And I was surprised how that verse jumped out at me as I was reading through the book of Hebrews. So let's bless and encourage others now while they're living, and not wait until they're gone and then say nice things about them after they're dead. Let's do it now. Let's encourage one another. Let's give flowers to the living to enjoy and not place them on their graves. Then it's too late. Then they don't enjoy them anymore. But let's give flowers to the living. Maybe it's not flowers. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a visit. Maybe it's a cup of coffee. Maybe it's a text saying, "I'm thinking of you today," or "I'm praying for you." These are just simple ways that we can encourage and bless one another. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works." You know, I know many of you are very good at that, of provoking one another to good works and surprises and all that, and that's great. I want to bless you for that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says, therefore, comfort one another and edify one another. That's all part of the encouraging, the exhortation. There was a sign posted on a telephone pole by the grocery store. Said lost dog. Lost dog with three legs, blind in left eye, missing right ear with a broken tail. He answers to the name of Lucky. Imagine that. It sounds pretty rough. Perhaps you feel just about as lucky as that lost dog, hobbling along with impaired vision, broken tail. Life is rough. We all need encouragement. You know, there was a woman in the Bible who also felt like she was at the end of her rope too and had nothing to give. But God showed her how to fill it up so she could pour it out, how she could bless and encourage others. Anybody have any ideas who that woman was? Dorcas. Well, I don't know that we actually have a name for her, but it's found in 1 Kings 17. But Elijah had just given King Ahab bad news. And had told him that it wasn't going to rain. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Zidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Now that was what you call a discouraged, empty woman. Have you ever been right there with her? Maybe not without flour and oil, but you want to scream, I don't have anything. How am I supposed to help you? How am I supposed to bless you and encourage you? We want to say, go ask someone else. Then in verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and for your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. She was an empty woman, but she took the little she had to offer encouragement to another, and God filled her up. And this is not original with me, but the writer that wrote this says, he calls this the bucket principle. We're each given a bucket of encouragement. As we dip out of our bucket of encouragement and pour into others, God miraculously fills it up again. In Luke 6, verse 38, It says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Many times we place a lid on our bucket of encouragement. We don't have enough. I'm drained. Go ask someone else, we moan. However, when we pour out in our emotional emptiness, God pours in and fills us back up. Can we apply this bucket principle to our lives today? When we feel empty, when we feel like we don't have anything to share, but if we see a need and we offer encouragement to bless someone, God will often bless us as much or more than the person that we're blessing. So as we look at the next days, weeks ahead, can we apply this bucket principle? And let's see how God fills our bucket. My prayer today is that you've been encouraged to press on even when it's tough going. May God bless you.